Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Lots to get to today, and we will jump right into all the soccer goodness. After last week, we kind of got back into the swing of things with the new year, and it never fails, Beamer. This is just an axiom. I think that's a men's magazine.
Axiom.
Whatever.
Axel.
I don't even know if I'm using the right word. It is a principal guarantee of this show. If we turn the microphones off and like talk about something or even briefly bring it up, but don't get into it all the way, the moment we turn the mics off, before we even get the podcast posted,
nuclear
news will break on that subject, and then our podcast will come out and will be outdated.
Which is weird because we usually do soccer podcasts on a Thursday,
yes,
which is what today is. Last week, we had to move it up. We did it on Wednesday, and then the news broke on Wednesday.
It follows us.
It
honestly does not matter. We could do it Sunday night at 11 p.m., and it would be that 11:30 is when the news would break. So I promise you, it's just how it goes. So today, we're going to talk a lot about something that we probably would have gotten into last week, but we ran out of time.
Kind of.
We mentioned it briefly, and then all this other stuff came out last week. So now let's get into it. It is the Greg Berhalter situation. Obviously, a lot of people have been talking about this. We will add to those voices and get into what's been going on. What's the latest with this situation with U.S. soccer, Greg Berhalter, drama surrounding the Reyna family, and much more. That's what we're doing today.
Hey, we're a soccer superpower now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Because of the drama.
If you have ever wondered, is America finally a soccer nation?
We're here.
You've got blackmail scandal. Mm. You've got all kinds of drama with families being involved in the soccer team.
Hey, yeah. Blackmail scandal worked out well for France.
That's right. Sure did.
That's all
Sure did. Two finals in a row after that. So there you go. One of them they won. One of them
they didn't.
Mbappé penalty.
Thanks for the chips, by the way.
Mbappé penalty.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I found the Lionel Messi goat Lays. They're flavored like Lionel Messi's undercarriage.
Yes. And it tastes fantastic.
How could they not? But anyway, I got a pack of those for you because I saw them at the store and I thought, that's what Beamer wants.
You know, I was so confused because I walked in and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, who brought me these chips? Like, yeah, I'm still kind of in a daze. And
yeah.
Then you get in here and I didn't even look at the back of the bag. And you're like, yeah, did you see the note on the back of it?
Yeah, I was like, did you enjoy your chips? And you're like, oh, are those from you? And I was like, yeah, there's a note on the back. And then you like flipped it over and there's my little note that
and
I left.
I said, UMF-er.
That's right. That's yes, indeed. All right. So here's where we are with the U.S. men's national team. Anthony Hudson is the interim head coach. I don't know if I just realized that today because I didn't even know. I was like, don't they have like an MLS camp coming up here soon?
Hudson and, Street Hooligan. Anthony
yeah, that's
Hudson.
Right.
It's a great before guy. And after Jeopardy clue. Anthony Hudson Street Hooligan.
That's amazing. And yes, yes. And I'm glad that's Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune does that sometimes too.
Oh, they do that. Yeah,
they do
right.
That. Like the two phrases mm-hmm. mashed together. Anyway, so Anthony Hudson's your current national team coach for the time being because Greg Berhalter's under investigation by U.S. Soccer. More on that in a moment. But because he is under investigation, can't really go forward with deciding to either hire or fire him, I guess, to be the next 4 years coach. So that's all kind of on hold.
Fire him.
Yeah, you could.
You could certainly not extend his contract. Well, I don't even know if it would
be. He's not even under contract.
I was going to say, it wouldn't even be a contract
extension. His contract's ended.
Yeah.
So he's just not receiving a paycheck anymore. Right. So we fixed the glitch. So it should work itself out. Office Space reference for those who are 100. so here's what's going on with this. Why is he under investigation? You might be asking.
If you fire people on a Friday, you'll have less chance of an incident.
The Bobs. The Bobs. Go talk to the Bobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the incident that came to light, and we'll talk about how it came to light in a second. Yep. Greg Berhalter, it was found out back in 1991 when he was dating his now wife, Rosalind Santana at the time. She played at North Carolina. She played on a great soccer team in North Carolina. The women's soccer team there, I want to say, won 4 straight national championships. Arguably one of the greatest assemblages of soccer talent, you know, in their sport, men's, women's, whatever. Like 4 straight championships, that's pretty dominant.
Yeah.
Okay? So she played on that team. Greg was playing at North Carolina on the men's team, and they had started dating. They had been dating for about 4 months when in 1991 they got in an argument. They got into some kind of shouting match. And there was some kind of physical altercation where he ended up kicking her in the legs, which, one, I mean, domestic violence, not cool ever, right. no way, shape, or form. I don't know what's in a person's mind when they act out like that. But, like, I just had the question when I saw that of, like, was this done because he's like, well, you're a soccer player, so if I kick you in the legs, like, that's going to, like, be worse for you somehow? Right. Like, I don't... It was weird. It was just a weird, obviously a horrible thing.
The whole thing's been weird. Horrible thing.
Yeah. So then that's 1991. The story apparently, and this is all from Greg's, you know, telling of it, because he, you know, put all this out there mm-hmm. as this investigation was occurring. He said that after that, she, of course, rightfully so, didn't want anything to do with him, broke off their relationship, didn't talk to him for a while. He said he went and, you know, was obviously mortified that he did that, was horrified at what he'd become, and spent time working on himself. And, you know, it was months and months and months later where apparently she reached out to him and said, hey, I want to talk about everything that happened. And she basically, I guess, came to him and said, I believe you're a changed person. Obviously that was bad, but I'd like to at least have you back in my life as a friend. And then from there, they ended up having a relationship again. They eventually got married. They've had kids. Those kids are grown.
Yep.
They've had a long life together since then.
This is before I was born, by the way.
I mean, this is 1991. Yeah. It's a long time ago. So I don't want to minimize domestic violence in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think anybody should. I also think there's something to the fact that this incident and this story may not tell the full picture of their relationship. If you just heard that allegation and that's it, you may not fully get the picture of their relationship given, like, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that what is being said here is legitimate.
Yeah.
I know people stay with their abusers sometimes mm-hmm. during fits of horrible abuse because they feel like they have no outlet or agency. They were not married at this time. They had been dating for 4 months. She was out of the relationship for many, many months and could have easily never seen or talked to this guy again. So something allowed her to see in him, he's not the same guy. That wasn't who he is. So I'm willing to go with him on, regardless of how that occurred, he's a different person now, and he's not that same person. I think that's well within the ability to do that. Found out there was some serial abuse going on, that would
different
be different.
Story. Yeah,
right.
Different thing.
So why is this coming up in the year 2022? Well, the reason for that, oh, now it's 2023, but when it first came up, it was, I guess, kind of 2022. Anyway, this all happened because it was leaked to U.S. Soccer. It was intimated to U.S. Soccer that this was going on with their head coach. And I remember when this came out.
You texted me this when the story was breaking. And I'm like, what are the chances?
One of Rosalind Santana's teammates at North Carolina, who was slightly more famous than her and had a slightly better, I would say a lot better career than her. And that's no offense to her. It's just the way things worked out. Danielle Egan played on that same team. Was a U.S. soccer star, was one of the people who helped the U.S. win that 1999 Women's World Cup that everyone remembers. Danielle Egan was like a U.S. soccer, like, big timer. She played a pivotal role in those teams and in those games. Danielle Egan is now Danielle Egan Reyna. Danielle Reyna. She's married to Claudio Reyna.
Okay.
They are the parents of Gio Reyna, the player who did not get to play nearly as many minutes as everyone thought he would, including, I'm sure, him and his family in the World Cup. And what makes this story so interesting, and I know for some of you, you're like, we already know all this. I'm just laying it out for people who have not followed this story or are maybe got the high points of it. The Reyna family, Claudio Reyna, if you, again, are not old like me, Claudio Reyna was a pivotal player for many U.S. national teams back in the late 90s, early 2000s. 2002 national team, the team that got me into the World Cup and into soccer and started me on this path of following soccer. Yeah. Claudio Reyna was
arguably one of the best to ever don the Stars and Stripes.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because I've seen some people who have since then been like, he was just more of a product of like the environment.
Okay.
Whatever. At the time, I watched those games. I was watching them. I was paying attention to them. Claudio Reyna was good. Pivotal in those
Claudio
moments.
Claudio Reyna, good. Good player.
Very good. Very good player. Great. Like, not Landon Donovan, you know? Not Clint Dempsey in those ways. And I would say now you've got better players on this national team than Claudio Reyna ever was, one of them being his kid. But at the time, he was one of the brighter stars of that U.S. national team that did a lot of good things. But he was also someone that, back in the day, I remember being like, Brian McBride is my guy. Wow, he's great. Oh, man. Yeah, look at Landon Donovan. He is quick. And then the soccer head guys, the old heads watching would be like,
but Claudio Reyna is
you need
the
to
guy
watch what Claudio Reyna is doing, man. You need to
go.
Pay attention. Like that, that was the thing back then. And that's what got me to kind of watch the game differently. Anyway.
This Kylian Mbappe fella's good, but have you seen Adrian Rabiot play?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. This is the thing. Like, that was what the smart soccer
By
fans
the way,
were saying back
nobody says
then.
That about Kylian Mbappe and Adrian
no,
Rabiot.
No, they don't. They don't.
Not
but that
one
was,
person.
I like that you tried, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. So also on the field in that 02 World Cup, that was Greg Berhalter. So they played on that U.S. national team together. Berhalter and Claudio Reyna, I believe, went to the same high school. Both like Jersey guys, went to New Jersey or lived in New Jersey, all that stuff. So they've known each other since before Greg was in college. Berhalter's wife and Reyna's wife, Danielle Egan and Rosalind Santana, they knew each other in college. The four of them have known each other
long time.
I mean, this is these are two families
30 plus years
that have known each other, yes, for the majority of their lives. And so let's just keep all this in mind. These are two very tight families, or had been very tight families.
And important to U.S. soccer.
Yes. And also this, like, I mean, I had people growing up in my life that my parents, I had a couple, Steve and Katrina were their names, that I called Uncle Steve and yeah. Aunt Katrina growing up. It was not till I was like 10 or 12 that I found out that neither of them were related to our family. But that's how close, yeah. Like we went over to their house often. My parents, my mom was best friends with Katrina, and you know, they like, you know, Steve, the husband, and my dad got along really well. So like, I was just over there all the time. And so I did not know until I was older that they were actually not my relatives. I get the sense that's the relationship here.
Yeah.
Like that type of family structure where it's like they've known each other and then they continued having a long time family relationship. Kids probably played soccer. Well, I know they did. Sebastian Berhalter and Claudio Reyna played on similar teams, all that stuff. So this is the context I think that needs to be understood in this drama that has now occurred. And I think that's where we have to kind of set the scene for what then happened, where the story that came out of this
was wild. How did the information come to light?
Right. And you said I texted you because I'm like thinking, who would even know about this situation?
Yeah.
And there are probably lots of people, but who else, like around at that time, probably all her teammates probably were somewhat aware of, like, this dude she's dating, like, kicked her in the leg and she was very distraught about it. Like, they would know at the very least she had a boyfriend who was crappy.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad guy.
Yeah. So then, but who would have the motivation to bring it up now? Like, who wouldn't have brought it up back when he got the job?
It been under the rug for 30 years.
Who wouldn't have brought it up? He was the manager of the Crew. When he got the Crew job, you would think someone who would have thought, I don't think this guy's a good person, would have brought it up then and said, this guy did something.
When he got the U.S. men's national team job. When he got that job.
There's plenty of times where they could have said, man, I think this is not a good hire. But that didn't occur. But it did now after this World Cup. Where some people say it's a success. I feel like it was a mixed bag. I don't think it was a failure. It was just not as good as I'd hoped for.
Yeah.
In either case, that led to me thinking, well, who would have known him that long and who would be mad about something? Perhaps Gio Reyna's mom, who check, and Claudio Reyna. I'm not absolving him, but like firsthand knowledge, right? So that was just a little thing I texted you. And then, of course, this came out a couple days later that, yes, that's exactly what it was. I was not the only one saying this. I did not like break this or anything. I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying.
I didn't know it before you texted me.
No, I didn't put those together. After I started thinking about that and looking it up, I'm like, oh, there are other people saying the same thing. I guess I'm not totally crazy thinking this.
Jeez. You all right?
I just had like a whole thing. You know what? That's a good place to pause. We'll stop there. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will put together the rest of this thing and give you our thoughts on how this all happened. And I almost died. So we'll just regroup after that. Bone and Beam United.
I'm just saying, the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Welcome back. I drank some water, stopped coughing. So
some
now.
Some mate.
Yeah. I had some yerba mate. Ooh, sounds good. So back to the Berhalter situation, which I've been trying to lay out in a way that hopefully brings you up to speed on it, but also gives you all sides of this. I feel like, just as a pause here before we get back into it, there are a lot of Crew fans who I feel like, rightfully so, love Greg Berhalter and have felt that a lot of people in U.S. soccer incorrectly judged him on the performances on the field going back a couple years. People who thought he shouldn't have got the job in the first place, who've had the knives out for him pretty much ever since he got the job. Mm-hmm. I agree with a lot of those Crew fans that Berhalter has, by some in the U.S. soccer fan community, on U.S. soccer Twitter, all that stuff, there are people who are just absurd.
U.S. soccer Twitter, very safe place.
No.
Very safe.
It's oh, God. It's full of landmines. Yeah. No one should go there. It's miserable. I agree with you that those people suck. What I do think needs to be said, though, to some Crew fans who I know really love Greg Berhalter, and I know there are people in my life, people, friends of mine, that I know text with Greg, have his phone number, they've talked to him, they know this guy. Clearly, I don't know him, but a lot of people in the Crew community do, and they feel strongly about how he's getting screwed over by everyone in this situation. I want to point this out. You can like someone as a person and admit they failed at something.
Sure.
Like, we have to do it in this job all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Columbus Blue Jackets, technically, as far as I know, still have a head coach. I don't know why he's still the head coach, but Brad Larson, not getting the job
over
done.
Over his skis.
Not my guy. Is Brad Larson an evil individual?
Absolutely
I don't think
not.
So. I've never met him. Every interaction I've ever heard of anyone having with him is he is an A-plus individual.
Lovely human.
Great guy. Ryan Day, Ohio State head coach. Everything I've ever heard from people who work with the guy, he is an A-plus dude, a great human, genuinely different than the last human that ran the team and won a lot of games. Everyone says night and day difference around that program. I won't name names. I know people who have talked with these people often who say it's night and day difference.
Well, the good news for you is that neighbor Eric has no clue who you're talking about.
Right. But if, like, Ryan Day loses to Michigan, he's probably not going to have a job, and I'm going to have to go on the air and say,
this guy doesn't deserve a job.
Right. And yeah. I don't like that aspect of our job.
It stinks.
But
it's
that
horrible.
So I want to point that out here with Greg Berhalter. My criticisms of him with tactics, strategy, or whatever are not personal. They are not because I think Jay Berhalter gave him the job. They're not about any of that. It's about, I'm just trying to look at this separate from what he did here at the Crew, separate of how good of a human I may think he mm-hmm. is or whatever. I'm trying to weigh the facts and say, is this guy the right guy to lead U.S. soccer? The entire country looks to this man every 4 years to say, are you going to get the job done or not? Whether you like him or not as a human should have no bearing on whether or not he should be the head coach of the U.S. soccer team. Yeah. So that all said, let's get back into this. Greg Berhalter, this allegation comes up about 1991. He jumps out in front of it and says, whoa, hey, let me put this all out there because this is bubbling up. People have tried to blackmail me with mm-hmm. this. More on the word blackmail in a moment. But I'm beginning, maybe he didn't use the word blackmail. I think what he said was, I got to go back and read the statement, but he made some allusion to, like, people want to use this against me, or they're trying to
weaponize it. Or,
right. They're trying to take this and get me out of a job. They're trying to use it against me. So he puts out the full situation. Most of the details we have of this story are Greg Berhalter's version of that. I do think it's noteworthy that, you know, again, when Ray Rice had his issue of, you know, again, a different situation, but where he was on video punching a girl he was with in an elevator. Yeah. We you can get a version of that from the person who's like, oh, it's not that. And everyone started to move along. And then we got video of it and said, oh, that's really
a whole different.
Different thing. I'm just reminding everyone, whatever you think of Greg Berhalter as a coach or as a human, we are getting the person who was accused and who did the thing. We're getting their version of how good or bad it was.
Here's what he said. During the World Cup, an individual contacted U.S. Soccer, say that they had information about the about me that would, quote, take me down.
Take me down. So essentially saying, and that insinuates at least, that there's a blackmail attempt to, if U.S. Soccer doesn't get him to step down, we're going to release this.
Yep.
Okay. So we now know that to be the Reyna family. They've admitted that that's what happened. But I just want to point out as well that this is, we're getting this story of what happened between those two from Greg Berhalter. Now, his wife says she signs on with that, and that's what this is, but Danielle Egan, who was there at the time, has put out a statement saying it was a little more serious than I think everyone understands, and at the time, I don't think, she basically said, I don't think Roslyn would have characterized it the way it's being characterized now. All right, sure. So take that for what it's worth.
And again, 30 years ago, I have no clue. I wasn't there. I don't have video of it, at least that I know of. Like, I have no idea what actually happened.
So the narrative that came out of this was the Reyna family has raised a spoiled, entitled a-hole. And that a-hole
might be true.
Maybe true. Absolutely right. That a-hole couldn't stand the fact that he didn't get to play. He threw a giant hissy fit.
Which seems like happened.
Sounds like he did throw somewhat of a hissy fit. And then his family threw a bigger hissy fit and tried to get Greg Berhalter fired with some drama from 30 years ago that didn't need to be brought up, but they threw it out there because they're scumbags. Okay. That narrative has largely taken hold with those who believe Berhalter is angelic and innocent and can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And here's where I come down on that. And I brought this up on Twitter. I will post it again. Or I'll post it. I'll say it with my mouth. That's how that works.
How else do you say things?
I'm verbally posting it on this podcast.
I'm verbally posting it.
I'm going to submit it to the mods.
Which then we will post to Twitter later.
The moderators are going to judge if I can post this on the message board.
It actually again, just comes with a...
References of old.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to remind people that, for those who don't know, Claudio Reyna, Danielle Egan Reyna, they had another son, I believe his name was Jack, who sadly passed away. I want to say he was 13 years old or so, had a disease. I don't mean to bring this up like, hey, they can do whatever they want. Their kid died. You can excuse anything they ever do. Far from it. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is if your judgment of the Reynas is their kid didn't get to play enough in World Cup, they wanted to go ruin someone's life. They're just bad people. They're just drama queens and all this stuff. Maybe they are. I'm pointing out that they've had bigger things in their life happen to their kids than their kid didn't get to play as much in a World Cup as they thought.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just, and also they both played in World Cups. They're also not people who have to live through their child to realize their failed dreams. They achieve. Danielle Egan won a World Cup.
World champion.
She's held the trophy. Her husband didn't, but she did. Her husband had some of the greatest success on a U.S. soccer field on teams that anyone in U.S. soccer, men's soccer, has ever achieved as far as what those teams did. So they're not your typical soccer parents, and they're not necessarily people, I would guess, who blow everything out of proportion just because they want their kids to do well. Now,
at least not immediately.
Well, what I mean is they've been through drama that is way bigger than
like
my kid
life,
didn't play. Yeah, my kid didn't play some soccer, and I'm butthurt about it. Like, they've been through bigger things. Maybe they have terrible perspectives based on that. I don't know. But what I am saying is just keep that in mind, too. They're not like your typical soccer parents who've never seen anything in the first sign of drama. They're just throwing it all out
there. Gonna be like me, drunk at a five-year-old soccer game, yelling at the coach. That's what I'm planning on doing.
I can't wait. I'll join you.
Good. Perfect.
Let's do it. I'll be the coach, actually. You can just yell at me.
I would love that. There's nothing more than I would love to yell at you about your tactics.
Right. So this is where I feel like we have to truly and honestly look at all parties involved. Did the Reynas do something by going to U.S. soccer with this that, to me, is unsavory? Yeah.
Yes.
If it was, you know, everybody's mad, they're sitting at the hotel or wherever they are, and then, she, you know, Danielle Egan, Claudia Reyna are like, you know what? Let's get on the old email and type out everyone who's involved with U.S. soccer, 20 people, and let's send them an email that's like, Greg Berhalter did this, and I think you all should know about it. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be clearly the worst example of what this is. That would be bad. That would be essentially what Greg insinuated, was that it's, you know, they're trying to take me down. However, what if it's Claudio Reyna talking to two guys he played on the same teams with Greg Berhalter on, and those guys who were also in Qatar, who are also around the team, who would all be sitting around drinking or talking, or that he might call, or that he might, well, you know, right, drinking coffee or whatever, or they're, but they're life, they're friends who have also played soccer for 20 plus years. They're as good of friends as perhaps Greg Berhalter and Claudio Reyna once were, Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride. Those guys run U.S. soccer.
Yeah.
They are in charge of U.S. soccer. They're in charge of the men's national team and of deciding who the head coach is. So
if they also know these families.
Yes, they know Greg Berhalter's family as well as Claudio Reyna knows their family. As like, what it is, if anything, is it shows the incestuous nature of U.S. soccer and of how this thing is run. You have Ernie Stewart, played on that 0-2, played on multiple World Cup teams. Brian McBride, played on multiple World Cup teams. And I love Brian McBride. I'm not here to shade Brian McBride. But what I'm saying is, if Beamer, someday you go off and you are running like a radio media conglomerate of 50 radio stations. All right. But you're running like 50 radio stations, and I'm working here, and I've been elevated to, like, I don't know, chief grand poobah of here.
Good. That then, will happen.
Right. And then, like, Common Man is off, and he's working at a different whole place, and Timmy Hall is running a media company, and we get together at a conference, and we're talking, and I give some info from my station to you. That might be, wow, president of blah, blah, blah gives president of another company insider information. Yeah, that would not be great. But it could also be like, hey, man, I'm just talking with my friend from 30 years, and I accidentally let some stuff out that I shouldn't have or whatever. That is a little bit of context that should be important in those discussions, right? I'm saying with this, I don't think it was an accident that this got brought up.
I don't think it was an accident at all.
I could understand, though, how Danielle Egan, Daniel Reyna, sends this email or text message, whatever she did, to Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride, and is like, now I'm here. My son told me that in the locker room, everybody had to stand up and tell my kid what they hated about him and how much he sucked.
Or whether or not he should stay or go.
Right.
And we should send him packing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Greg, who is our longtime family
friend. And
it's
the worst that he has ever been treated in his life.
He's a professional. He's paid millions of dollars to play soccer. He's never been treated like this. This is entirely unprofessional from this coach. You guys should know this. He has a history of just being weird, and let me tell you about what really ticks me off with this guy, because we've stood by him through all this, even though I know all this other crap about him that I could throw out there. If that was the context of it, that to me is not blackmail. That is not trying to get the guy fired. That is her venting and then letting something slip that probably she shouldn't have let slip. And Claudio Reyna venting in a similar fashion to his buddies, and that comes out, and it's like, this guy's a loose cannon, man. And I thought he was past all this, but apparently he's not. Apparently he's just as weird as he ever has been. That I could see being a different thing. I could also understand this. Do you think it is easier for Greg Berhalter to go up to Christian Pulisic or Gio Reyna and offer criticism? It's got to be Gio Reyna, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Because he's known him since he was a two-year-old,
right,
or since he was born. Would it be easier for him to go to any of these other guys on the team and lay into them about how, now he's a head coach, he's coached millionaire athletes before, this is not new to him, but I could see how Greg Berhalter might hold Gio Reyna like an uncle that's not really your uncle. You've seen that.
Hold you to a higher standard.
Every youth sport you've ever been to, coach's
dad,
kid,
mom, whatever, who is coaching is always harder on their kid or kids that they know personally.
Yes. Or like the dad is like, hey man, you can go scream at my kid all you need to, because I want you to, you know, like that kind of stuff happens.
He needs to hear, he's not listening to me, he needs to hear it from you.
And you know what? Maybe that was a thing when this first started.
Yeah.
Maybe even Claudio Reyna was like, hey man, Gio needs to be, you know, within shape a little bit. You need to do, like, but maybe it's now gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying with that is, don't lose sight of the fact that these two families know each other so well. Familiarity can breed contempt, can it not?
Yep.
And if we get to a point where I'm coaching for my, you know, I'm trying to show everybody, it's World Cup, it's first one in 8 years, there's tons of pressure, and I see a guy who has a little bit of an outburst, and he has it towards me, and I've known you since you were two.
I'm going to rule with an iron sword.
How dare you? Yeah. Like, I could see Greg getting too far out there with the way he cheated Gio Reyna.
But also, I mean, from a perspective of looking at this and just the whole timeline and coming out of the World Cup and obviously not happy with your son's playtime, if this was going to be a concern and Greg Berhalter was the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, to my knowledge, Gio Reyna had different nationalities that he could pick.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think he was born in England. Yeah. I mean, he had different multiple, I think, European passports. If this was a real concern that Greg Berhalter was going to be coaching your child and was going to be doing this and hopefully getting it up to a World Cup level, like, wouldn't those be conversations that you would need to have moving forward when you are deciding, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's Gio's choice which country he represents.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that two parents that have represented both the United States and the World Cup would tell him, like, hey, there might be this thing that happened back in the day, like, you need to be aware. Like, I'm trying to wrap my whole head around that. Yeah. Like, that should have been.
Well, and again, here's what I think it is. I honestly think it has to do with this. Like, again, I'm not absolving the Reynas on any of this. It is.
I'm not absolving Greg Berhalter in any of this.
It is entirely shitty that, like, their kid didn't play, and then suddenly they decide, you know what, it's time to lay this out there. Like I said, I can get to a mental place where I understand in a outburst of emotion, they blurt something out, and then it becomes like, you know, again, yeah, maybe.
What did you just say?
Now, maybe it's Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride's job there to go, okay, do you really want to do this, or are you just venting?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, for them to, or maybe it's their job, and again, I don't know. Maybe it's their job where they hear that and they're like, well, now that you've said it, I can't unhear that.
Yep.
I have to do my job, which is we have to launch an investigation into this, because even though it is from 30 years ago, this gets out there. This looks bad on our organization.
Of course it does.
And people are going to rightfully say, why did we hide this with Greg Berhalter when we've all known him a long time, too? If this comes, like, we can't look like we're playing favorites with him. So now they have to almost do an investigation. The Reynas clearly didn't seem like at any point they were like, oh, no, shoot. I don't get the vibe at all that they regret that this got out there.
With anything, with Greg's statement, like, there's zero regret with
No.
How this has been unfolded.
But what I think needs to be kept central here is like that Rosalind Berhalter situation is not good. It seems like all parties involved there moved on.
Yeah.
I don't think that should have any bearing on his ability to do this job.
Whether or not that is actually the case, I don't know. I'm not in that family. That is not my mom. That is not my dad. We were not there. I don't know. But taking the word as what it is from both of those people 30 years ago that they have moved on and things have,
like,
okay, I will take you at your word.
Yes. Here are a couple other things that I think are weird about this whole situation. Sebastian Berhalter, Greg Berhalter's son, was loaned to Austin FC. He played for the Crew and then loaned to Austin FC. Who's in charge at Austin FC? That's Claudio Reyna. He is their Tim Bezbachenko. He's their, you know, president of soccer ops, all that stuff. 1 year loan, and then he was basically told, yeah, no thanks, and declined to sign Sebastian Berhalter a couple years ago. So I don't think that plays in for Greg's decision making with Gio Reyna. But did that cause some rift between Gio Reyna or with Greg, where it's like, oh, you're going to be a little hard on my son? Well, I may be a little harsher on yours, not like as a vindictive move, but just like, okay, there's no favoritism being played. None going to be played for Gio either. Like, I don't know, man. But what I know is these families are too close, and this is a problem. Not that it's bad to be close as families. As I said earlier, the fact that there's this tangled web of we've known each other for a billion years and all of our kids grew up together, but now we don't like each other.
Like, so that's fine, but you're also in a decision and an ability to impact their direct outcome, and you're in a power position over them.
Right. Well, I mean, at one point with the Lakers, Jeannie Buss, daughter of Jerry Buss, who owned the team, and then she became the owner of the team, she's dating Phil Jackson, who was the coach. Now, they've since broken off their relationship and all that, and now, whatever. The point is, that's not great. Like, having personal relationships, and then you're in charge of decision-making for That to me, honest to God.
A multi-$100 million enterprise, billion-dollar enterprise, whatever it is.
Just like I don't think that we should look at that Rosalind Berhalter situation with Greg and that domestic violence issue 30 years ago to judge whether or not he can coach now. I also don't think we should look at what the parents did with Gio Reyna and say, I've seen Crew fans who I thought were rational say things like, Gio Reyna should never play for the U.S. national team again. Are you out of your goddamn mind? What are you talking about? He's one of the five best players this team has. You're an idiot. Now, Gio Reyna,
pompous little baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Have you watched soccer?
That's where I'm at, man. We got DeAndre Yedlin and Walker Zimmerman came out.
Him too.
Him. Yeah. They came out and they were like, I think Greg's doing a great job. These are guys that I know. DeAndre Yedlin's played overseas, but
DeAndre Yedlin said, I think Greg's a great head coach. I think he did a great job just kind of banding us all together and making sure that we were all fighting for the same goal. Obviously, we all know certain things are happening. And again, some of those decisions are not up to me. He's a great coach. I've really enjoyed working with him. And then Walker Zimmerman said this a couple of days ago when he was talking about the situation. Greg has done a great job for the national team. I think that the record speaks for itself. We obviously wish we could have gone further in Qatar. I know he wishes that as well. I think he did a really good job creating a team culture and chemistry that was impressive. He has handled a lot of things very, very well. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Walker Zimmerman, career MLSer, DeAndre Yedlin, guy who's past his prime. These two guys come out and defend Greg Berhalter. That's fine. All I'll tell you is this. If you're going to say because Gio Reyna's parents threw a fit about something, and let's say they did all the things that are said here, that they all were just vindictive as hell, mm-hmm. and they just wanted to ruin Greg Berhalter's
life. Like an episode
life,
of Game of Thrones.
Let's say it's not that scenario I brought up where they're just kind of venting, and then it has once they vented it, now it has to be investigated. Yeah. If it truly was they just want to ruin this guy's life, that still shouldn't impact Gio Reyna's ability to play for this team. Yeah, you might have to look at further down the road, can Gio Reyna and Greg Berhalter coexist? But this
Which is then a coaching decision.
This is my bigger point.
Yeah.
I don't think Greg Berhalter should be the head coach of this team for two main factors. One, I don't think he maximizes the talent on this roster. I think he goes with what fits the way he likes to see games played as opposed to what this team can do best. I think he limits this team with his roster decisions. So that's been my issue with him watching the World Cup and some of his other ways he's done this. The other issue I have, though, is this man has no idea how to manage high-level talent that isn't immediately his favorite.
Yeah.
And if
ego management, ego balance.
Dude, 2 days after this World Cup ends, he's at a conference where I know they had rules in place. It wasn't supposed to get out there.
Man, you are the head coach of a soccer team that just got to the round of 16 in a World Cup.
He goes out there and lays out.
It's not like you're talking one-on-one. This is at a conference.
Tony Meola, who played on many a U.S. national team back in the day, and it was a legendary goalkeeper. He has a show on SiriusXM. He said, "If when I was 20 years old, if I got stood up by any coach and that coach then had every player in the room, which apparently happened, say what I wasn't doing well and how I needed it fixed, he said, at 20, I would have stormed out of the room and never come back." Like, He was saying that you would have been crushed. Right. He's saying the fact that Gio Reyna, like, didn't go freak out and all that, actually stayed in it and played some minutes and hung around. He said that's a testament to Gio Reyna and kind of made it sound like, to me at least, that he couldn't believe Greg Berhalter would do that. That's, dude, man, you're not coaching a college team. That's honest to God, a high school team. I'll say this last thing, and then we can wrap this up. For all the Crew fans, especially, because I know a lot of them got really frustrated when Alex Crenali, who, you know, he played in Gahanna alongside Will Trapp. Those families were tight. Those families were big Crew fans and our group, big Crew fans, I believe, all that stuff. Alex Crenali got thrown under the bus by Caleb Porter. And everyone said, how dare you? All these Crew fans came out of the woodwork say, how dare you? This is a child. He's 21 or 19 or 22, whatever Alex Crenali was. And they were like, Caleb Porter, this pro coach, how dare
this mother.
But now, when Greg does it, for no reason, he's at a conference with a bunch of people he wants to impress. It wasn't like he was talking to U.S. national team fans or anything. He's talking to just some people at a leadership conference. Then he's like, let me tell you about one of my stars.
Let me tell you how to lead. Is doing this.
I'm going to go take locker room stuff and put it out there. And that now we're like, yeah, that's exactly what he should do. He has to rein in Gio Reyna's massive ego. It's like, be consistent, man. I thought it was crap when Caleb Porter did that to Alex Crenali. I think it's crap that Greg Berhalter did it. And I don't care that you say, oh, it was off the record. He should know better. The fact he has.
Did he still do it in that locker room, though? Yes.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if the comments were on the record or off the record.
Number one, that's a dumb way to coach. And then to go out and brag about it afterwards, that's a dumber way to coach. Greg Berhalter's a dumb head coach who has lost his mind. Maybe, and at one point he was a good head coach, but the question's always been, can you manage a roster that you only see 12 times a year? And I don't think he can. So
here's my question.
In my mind, Greg should go for those reasons. Nothing to do with this drama and all that stuff. And then we need to find a coach who's never set foot in the United States.
We've also called Zinedine Zidane.
No connections.
And he said no. He said no thank you.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that like a bunch of teams kind of were like, hey, would you be interested? And he was like, I'm not interested in anything right now. So that
Roberto Martinez, by the way, going to Portugal. So let's put that rumor to rest.
Right.
Here's my question on just for you, and it sounds like you're saying no.
Yeah.
Anyways, before I even got to this
sorry,
point.
I just kind of got going.
Expectations for the 2026 World Cup. It is on home soil. It is an expanded field.
Yeah.
Going from 32 to 48 teams. Is Greg Berhalter, and this is just taking everything out from what we just said with the whole, you know, everything that's going on with the scandal and everything. Is Greg Berhalter, would you want Greg Berhalter to be in charge of the most gifted generation of U.S. soccer up to this point with a World Cup on home soil? Like,
no.
And I think, honestly, that's the question.
The answer is no.
That's the question with how big of a mess that everything is right now with this entire situation is that the U.S. Soccer Federation and the people in charge are going to have to answer. Can you see Greg Berhalter, again, with the best soccer generation, the biggest talent pool, the best chance, hypothetically, if everybody is healthy and whatever goes our way that day, can you see Greg Berhalter having a successful run in the 2026 World Cup?
Here's my answer. Back in the day, I think it was Steve Sampson was the head coach in 98 World Cup, where you had some other drama that is been well documented, but if you're not familiar with it, Eric Winalda and John Harkes, there was an affair between their that was not good. Two teammates, one had an affair with the other's wife. That happened right before they left to go, and Steve Sampson had to manage all that, and by all accounts, didn't do a great job with it. On top of that, at this World Cup in 98, he decided to roll out with a 3-6-1 formation out of nowhere that they had really not played, and it was a huge mess. It was a terrible mess. The Men in Blazers guys,
yeah,
they did. Roger Bennett did a whole podcast series on that. Go listen to it if you're not familiar. It is wild. It was poorly managed. It was dumb. I feel like where we're at now with Greg Berhalter is, you didn't have a situation like that. You had a player who you decided, number one, to not play, and then that player reacted poorly, and then you reacted ridiculously beyond that. Now, his family has since reacted ridiculously as well, but I look at this mess as being all started by Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
I look at the handling of it and the nipping of it in the bud as being something Greg Berhalter also did not do. And these are with longtime friends of yours. Mm-hmm. But I'll add to this. You have to have the respect of the locker room.
Yeah.
How many guys looked at that as Gio Reyna's getting taken to task and said, I really respect what Greg Berhalter's doing here? And how many of those guys were like, what is this Ted Lasso bullshit? Like, that works on TV. That doesn't work in real life, man. Like, I honest to God think there are a lot of guys on that locker room who will look at him and go, whatever. Glad he's not my regular coach. Yeah, glad he's not the guy. Yeah. And I don't see that working for another 4 years. And I don't see how that works when there's more drama with some other player that comes up and thinks he should be getting minutes.
Yeah,
I don't.
A better player than Gio Reyna will be.
Yeah, right. And I don't think where U.S. soccer needs to go.
God, hope your friend with Christian Pulisic's dad.
Right. There's whole thing. Like, there's just so much drama that could happen that didn't. And this was what caused it,
right?
Was with a longtime family friend, and you couldn't manage their kid. You couldn't figure out how to get in his head. How are you going to get in Christian Pulisic's head after he's either flamed out at Chelsea or become a success, further, whatever? Like, how are you going to do that? There's a clip that's going around. Last thing I'll say, you should look at this, and then we'll go. There's a clip from, I don't know when, it was not long ago where Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic are sitting at a podium, and a reporter says something to the effect of, Greg Berhalter compared you, and I think he was talking to Pulisic, compared your potential to Maradona in 86. Oh, and you see Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic both looked at each other like, what? Like, they both looked at each other and gave me, and then Gio Reyna's like, I don't think that's accurate at all.
Good on Gio.
And Christian Pulisic was like, yeah, man, that's really, wow. Like, it was like two kids in school. The teacher's like, hey, I'm hip, I'm cool, I listen to your music, I'm a big fan of Drake. And they were just like, oh, word, all right, cool. Like, it just looked like teachers
love
trying
some
to
Cardi B.
Teachers trying to like relate, and the kids were having none of it. And I'm just saying, man, like, there's more to that. I don't think a lot of those guys look at Greg and have any respect for him. But I certainly don't think after this they have a lot of respect for him. So good that the old guys, who may not even be as big of factors in the next World Cup, like him. I haven't seen a lot of the young guys coming out and defending this. I haven't seen a lot of the guys who are the future of this team defending it at all. So that to me is what matters. That's why Greg Berhalter, not the guy. But what about you, Beam? Do you think he's got a chance to come back and somehow find his way out of this?
I said it after the World Cup before all this shit hit the fan that no. And then you add this in, like, it makes me way less confident.
Yeah, and by the way,
and in 4 years' time, you're on home soil, more pressure. There will be bigger egos because there will be better players and an expectation of that. I don't think before all this came out that he could handle that. And certainly after hearing all of this, like, what possible reason would I have to be like, yep, got full confidence?
Agreed. You know what's sad is that, like, now this team might actually be ready for like a Jurgen Klopp. I was going to say Jurgen Klinsmann, Jurgen Klinsmann, never again. I'm not saying bring him back.
I know what you
I'm
mean.
Saying a manager from outside of the U.S., different voice, who can come in and say, hi, I've managed like 20 different national teams, a handful of domestic
teams.
You're
playing like shit.
Yeah. And like, yeah, get that dude who was, was it Morocco's head coach? No, who was the handsome man?
Saudi Arabia's
head coach. Yes. But he's like managed a bunch of teams in Africa, and get that dude to come over here and like, let him just, hey, I don't know anybody from anybody. And you know what? If you get a coach like that, and that guy comes in and says, Gio Reyna is a punk ass B and I don't like him, or whatever, fine. Then it's not personal. It's just him saying, this guy can't get it done for me. He's not playing or whatever.
You need a neutral voice.
You're going to wonder now, with anything going forward with Gio Reyna, is this because of the personal stuff? Or is this because you actually think he can't play?
You need somebody that is going to be able to work a roster.
Yes.
And pick the best players available to you.
Yes. So that's the perspective from two dummies who watch soccer in Columbus. We are Columbus soccer fans. We have rooted for the Crew. We rooted for Greg Berhalter. I think we are being as I have a lot of insight to how good Greg can be as a coach. You do too. Mm-hmm. We also have now seen this, and both of our opinion is not the guy. So take that for what it's worth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me, just venting for most of this, but for our producer Bodie, for Brandon Beam, I'm Jonathan Smith. Hopefully we'll see you at a soccer bar and you won't punch me next time you see me if you're a Greg Berhalter fan. Till then, take care. We'll talk to you soon.